Hi and welcome to Swissquote's daily market talk. It's Wednesday, October 8th. The technology rally posed yesterday on unpleasant news for Oracle, but appetite is back this morning with news that Nvidia will invest in Elon Musk's XAI. Elsewhere, in the FX markets, the US dollar gains these days on weaker euro and weaker Japanese yen, and the FOMC minutes from the Fed will still be released today, and that despite the US government remaining closed, a thing that has actually become just a detail lost in the middle of deals in the technology sector. So we will talk about all that and more, but before we do, please keep in mind that opinions are my own and this is not financial advice. So investors took a breather yesterday from buying US stocks near their all-time high levels as a report that Oracle's profit margins happened to be much lower than investors expected hit the euphoric sentiment post OpenAI and AMD deal announcement of the earlier week. So the information reported that Oracle made roughly $900 million in revenue in the 3 months to August this year by renting servers powered by the Nvidia chips. But they only announced a gross profit of $125 million and they said that they actually lost $100 million due to Nvidia's Blackwell chip. So this is because they are in a very capital intensive business. They have high maintaining costs and their services may be underutilized for the moment. But hey, note that data center demand is, well, very much expected to rise and rise exponentially from now to 2030 and mostly due to AI related demand. McKinsey, for example, projects global data center capacity to surge from about 60 gigawatts today to 170 to 220 gigawatts by 2030, driven by 19 to 27% annual growth, which certainly explains why the buyers jumped in yesterday as Oracle stock fell to $270 per share level. But wait, that little bump yesterday will likely be very, very quickly forgotten with the new news today on the wire that Nvidia is now considering to invest $20 billion in Elon Musk XAI. So Nasdaq futures are up this morning at the time I'm talking here, and AI tide remains too strong to swim against, telling you. And the surge in the data center demand globally will obviously automatically increase the energy demand as well. So let me bring here a separate report from DNV that actually shows how data center demand globally will boost the energy demand as well. And their projection is, well, pretty much in line with the rest of the projections. AI data centers' power needs, they say, may grow tenfold over the next 5 years. Voila. So that means that we're always coming back to the same conclusion. Chips, data centers, energy, and cybersecurity. These will be needed to power our AI models. The only question here is whether investors, whether the market pricing has gone ahead of itself, not whether AI will grow and occupy a bigger part in our digital lives. And also, let me tell you this, I mean, I don't really believe a second that AI models are not to use and are not going to generate revenue. There will certainly be losers, but there will be major, major winners in this AI story. And as per the market's pricing, whether the market goes up or down or sideways, the fact that the valuations in technology stocks are very much high brings forward the question of, yes, is this a bubble? Now, Evercore ISI made a nice prediction for the matter in their recent note entitled "A Big Beautiful Bubble." In that report, they say that the S&P 500 is certainly in a bubble today, but that the bubble has room to grow bigger, much bigger in their view, to push the S&P 500 index to 9,000 points by the end of next year, with a 33% probability assessed to this scenario. Eye-popping, yes, but they say that, one, interest rate cuts from the Fed will stimulate business activity, 2, optimism in business and investor surveys, strengthened earnings coupled with reduced uncertainty and AI adoption that should also increase productivity gains and support margins for companies should help sucking more investors in before this bubble eventually bursts. As such, they say that you'd better chase dip buying opportunities at price pullbacks and close your long positions and move toward the sideways and watch the market balloon even more. And there's still a lot of room, mind you, for leverage investors to join in still, given that the net short positions in the S&P 500 remain very, very much deeply negative right now. So my conclusion is don't fear the bubble. Play along, voila, with this, everyone gets their fair share. This is maybe a bubble, but it could grow bigger. Now, speaking of energy real quick, Shell yesterday popped to the highest levels in more than a year in London trading after its third quarter update, while came in stronger than expected by analysts, boosted actually by significantly higher gas trading, they said, and solid upstream production. Now, the full results are due later this month by the end of October, but the update that came yesterday gave a sweet taste for Shell and its investors amid persistently suppressed oil prices that actually dissuade investors these days. And as for oil, the barrel of US crude is back above the $62 per barrel level, but last week's sell-off actually tilted the outlook toward the downside, suggesting that the price rallies here will likely bump into top sellers, with first strong resistance here seen into the 50-day moving average that currently stands near the $63.90 per barrel level for US crude and declining fast. Still, some good news for traditional energy providers investors came yesterday from the IEA. The agency actually held. Yes, they cut by 2 their forecast for renewable energy growth in the United States by 2030 on the U-turn from Donald Trump's administration, which clearly prefers and prioritizes traditional energy sources. So this report also pointed that China shifting away from the long-term fixed tariffs to an auction-based contract for a different system could also eventually lead to a more moderate solar and wind installation. So there is also the fact that the AI demand or the AI energy needs cannot rely on wind and solar energy sources because they are not reliable enough. As such, Global Access Renewable Energy Producers ETF actually fell yesterday, but fell just slightly. And ETF is doing surprisingly well still, and despite Trump since the April dip, with a more than 50% rebound actually. But it still remains to be seen whether this ETF could break into the bullish consolidation zone, which would require a move above the $36 level. In the FX markets, gain in the US dollar accelerated thanks to accelerated sales in euro and in the yen. The first one, the one for the euro, triggered by endless French political drama that actually pushed the spread between the French and German 10-year yield further up to 86 basis points yesterday, while the Japanese yen remained under the pressure of waning Bank of Japan rate hike expectations amid the new PM appointee Takeuchi's tilt toward easy monetary policy. As such, the euro dollar slipped below its 50-day moving average yesterday and below the 100-day moving average this morning, with potential of further losses targeting the 115 mark in the coming days, while the dollar yen spiked past the 152 level with the renewal of the once popular trade of selling Japanese yen against anything on soft Bank of Japan expectations. It is just that the Japanese yields are also rising this time around, a thing that could eventually limit the short yen appetite, while the Bank of Japan will not turn dovish just because Takeuchi will want it to, when they are actually on a normalization path to temper the inflationary pressures. Elsewhere, the US government remains shut, but the FOMC will still release its latest minutes from the latest meeting. Now, the fact that the jobs data in the US is delayed doesn't necessarily serve the Dows, who would be enchanted actually to see these numbers further weaken in the US. But according to Carlyle Group, well, the US economy may have added just 17,000 jobs in August. So that's soft enough to keep the Fed Dows in charge of the market and equity supported. The US dollar, on the other hand, looks like it will benefit from the euro and Japanese yen's weakness for some more time. So this is all for today. I'm Ipeko Skardeshkaya, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your beautiful and supportive comments. I hope this episode of Market Talk has been helpful and it has been insightful to you. So please do not hesitate to leave your comments, your reactions and your questions below, as usual. Follow us on Instagram, on X, on LinkedIn, but also on WhatsApp, Threads, Telegram and Blue Sky for regular market updates. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for daily market comments. And please, please don't forget to hit the like button on these videos to let us know that you enjoy them. So I will meet you again tomorrow. And until then, good day trading.